We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to that last person, when you are done, send it back to where it got started. That will help our... Then we ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. A couple of announcements I'll draw your attention to in the bulletin. No evening activities today. We will have the Christmas Eve service Tuesday at 5 o'clock. I want you to be a part of that. Bring your friends, bring your neighbors. Come at 5 o'clock and enjoy a time of worship on Christmas Eve. Also, we have extended the deadline for our Bridges groups. Bridges are eating groups that span the generations. We put together 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 somethings into dinner groups, and it's a great time of building relationships with one another. If you are interested in being in a small group that likes to eat, there is a place at the Welcome Center. Put your name down, stick your name in the box, and we're going to randomly pick those groups, and we'll assign them and send them out in January. Then you will meet once every quarter as a group just to get to know one another, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. Our Christmas offering goal is $25,000. As of this morning, we are at $14,174.25, well on our way to the $25,000 goal. The goal is there with the candles there in the baptistry. We have a couple more that we would like to get to finish to our $25,000 goal. So thank you for everybody who's been able to help us with that. Let's see. Any other announcements? Are we good?
Y'all got any announcements?
No? Okay, we're good. All right, we want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give something to you if you're a guest. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and they will recognize you. They will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church, and you'll find a little bit of the history of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. Is anybody excited about Christmas? I know y'all are. It is a great season that we are in. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. The Sunday where we celebrate love, and the coming of Jesus is the bringing of love into the world, God's love. And as we continue our tradition of lighting the Advent wreath, I'm going to invite Vince and Glennis Helmenthaler to come and share with us the reading and the lighting of the candle of love.
Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
I'm reading from John 3:16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
Today we light the candle of love.
Amen indeed. Would you please join me for our invocation? Dear God, we thank you so much that we can be here today to worship, to celebrate, and to give thanks for the greatest gift that we'll ever receive in all of eternity, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who came bringing a transforming love that shattered the darkness and open the door for your grace and forgiveness to be poured out into our hearts, into our lives, into our families, into our future, into our past. We thank you so much for that transforming love that brings hope to those who walk in hopelessness and despair, and peace to those who live confused and torn apart within, and joy, which we have just heard sung about so beautifully. We thank you for that eternal joy that nothing in this world can take from us. And most of all, we thank you for the love that changed the course of history and that changes us every day. Father, open our hearts today to your love to do that work inside of us that you long to do. Speak to us, O Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Invite all the kids, come on down. David, you're sit back down, David, sit back down. All right. Invite all the kids. All right, if you want free candy, come down. Oh, no, not you. Not you. All right, sit down. Crisscross applesauce. All right. I am excited to see y'all this morning. I have a question. I need a little participation. Need you to give me some answers, okay? But what, now I'm not talking about Santa Claus this morning, because Santa Claus, that's fun and everything, but what's Christmas about? Okay, as long as we're clear about that, all right, Jesus' birthday. Now, what is your favorite part of the Christmas story, the Jesus coming story? What's your favorite part? You could be your favorite person in the story. When Jesus is born, that's a great part of the story. What else? Who are some people, maybe some of your favorite people in the story? Jesus, oh, he's really important. Good vacation Bible school answer. Good, all right. The wise men. Why do you like the wise men? Because they're wise. Yes, they are wise. The shepherds. Hampton, why do you like the shepherds? They keep sheep. What a cool job. Okay. The angels. Yes. What else? Mary. Joseph. Mary. They had tough. The innkeeper. That's a good answer. Well, this morning, you're going to see a lot of those people here in church today, okay? And I want you to pay attention and listen to the part that they played in Jesus' birth, all right? My favorite, the shepherd, because they didn't have candy canes. They didn't have candy canes. They had canes that didn't quite look like this. But when I see one of these at Christmas time, this is my favorite candy at Christmas because I like peppermint and, sit down, arms down, that it reminds me of the shepherd. Now the shepherd, He's a really cool shepherd that you're going to see this morning. He's got a friend named Slim, okay, that he's going to talk about. And can you imagine being outside, minding your own little sheep, and then an angel appears, a bright light? I would scream and run too. Wouldn't we all scream and run? But they didn't. Listen, are you listening? Are you listening? Right here? But they didn't run. Even though they were afraid, they stayed right there. And they listened to the message that the angels had, that Jesus had been born. So today, I want you to listen to the message that Jesus has been born. And you're going to get one of these after church, all right? And I want you, when you get it, to remember the message that the shepherds had to say, that Jesus is born in Bethlehem. That's why we're celebrating Christmas, okay? Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for the amazing story. Whether it's Mary and Joseph, or the innkeeper, or the shepherds, the wise men, the angels, but most importantly, Jesus. For without Jesus, nothing in our lives makes sense. Without Jesus, Christmas doesn't happen. May we celebrate you and the message the shepherds told about Jesus being born. May we tell that story every day and live it out every day. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a Merry Christmas, and I'll see you after church, and I'll give you a candy, okay?
Thank you. Lord and our God, how good it is to be in this place this morning. Lord, to know that you are here with us, that you truly, even now, are Emmanuel, God with us. And for that this morning, we praise you, Lord, to know that you came and walked the earth, that you grew from a child into a man, and that you gave yourself for us. Lord, there is nothing we could ever do or give you to repay you for what you have done for us. And yet this morning, like the wise men, we come bearing gifts. Lord, we come this morning giving our time and our talents. Lord, we come giving you the first fruits of what you have given us. Lord, let our offerings bring you praise. And Lord, let our lives give you glory. Bless these gifts. Bless the givers. And Lord, may it all be used to glorify your name. And it's in that name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Well, you're no spring chicken. That's the first thing my neighbor said to me when I told her I was pregnant. Can you believe it? Maybe she didn't believe me. Oh, but I don't hold that against her. She had been a tad cranky ever since she found that scorpion in her girdle drawer. Maybe she just couldn't understand what a miracle this was for me. Zachariah and I had tried our whole lives to have a child of our own. But when most of my hair had turned gray and Zachariah's had turned loose, we'd given up hope. But with God, anything is possible. He seems to delight in bringing life to impossibly barren places. And if that wasn't enough, the angel that brought us this unbelievable news had more to say. This child, our son, was going to be used by God to prepare our people for the coming of the Messiah. It was all too much of a gift to be real. And then I thought, how would we even begin to train a child for a job like this? Oh, but God had that covered too. And it kept getting better. When I was about 6 months along, my cousin Mary came for a visit. No sooner had she said hello than my unborn child within me jumped and flipped. It was right then that God opened my eyes and caused me to see that this young girl standing in our home was also with child. And his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. 9 months later, we got the news from Bethlehem, and I looked over at Zachariah holding our own miracle baby, and I had one of those God moments. That moment when you realize that God had different plans. He had brought life to barren places. He had not forgotten about us, and He would never forget about us, never leave us alone again.
If I had known then what I know now, yeah, that'd have been room in my inn. Boy, they. I'd have given them my own bed if I'd only known. But I didn't know. How could I know? This place was packed. I'd never seen Bethlehem so crowded. The government had decreed that everyone was to return to their hometown to register for taxation. We know, the government's going to get their money, right? Well, everybody come back home. Since nobody wants to stay with their in-laws, my place was booked solid. I remember that day very, very well. We were full mid to late afternoon. They showed up 2 hours after dinner time. Talk about desperate. He was exhausted and honestly looked a little bit scared. She, wow, his wife, she was huge. She was out to here. It looked like she was about to burst. I saw them coming up. I knew what they wanted. And you know, when You don't. You've got bad news. You don't have what they're looking for. You figure, well, how am I going to break this to them? I thought, simple, short, sweet. Plan to say, look, folks, I'm sorry. There's no room in the inn. When they got up to me, I waited. They didn't say anything. The husband, he kind of looked down, shifted his weight, looked at his feet. I guess he was trying to come up with the right words. I glanced at his wife. I saw a wince in pain. Then he looked up, and he said, please. That's it. Just one word. Please. Let me tell you a story. I was about 5 years old. I was helping my mom set the dinner table one night. I noticed that she had a couple of extra plates out, more than we needed. Like any five-year-old is anxious, Mom, you made a mistake. Too many plates are out. She smiled, looked at me, said, no, honey. That's intentional. You always make room. You never know who might come your way. I was five. I didn't understand what she was talking about. I was totally confused. I was like, what? A little more forcefully, but still with a smile on her face, she said, you never know who God might send your way. You always make room. So there I am facing this man and his very pregnant wife. I said, I don't have anywhere to put you. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to make room. So we made room. I had a little space out back, made the arrangements. Believe me, they were not the nicest accommodations, but it's all I had. So we made room. And you know, of course, Mom was right. You always make room, especially when it comes to God.
Thank you. It was the longest, most difficult, exciting, scary, confusing, wonderful day of my life. When you realize that God has allowed you to become a father of a baby, I just can't put that into words. And when it seems He's deemed fit to let you become the stepfather of His son, well, that's overwhelming. He was a perfectly happy, healthy baby boy, born just about like any other baby. Yeah. I tell you what, I understand now why they call it labor. I've worked every day since I was 12 years old as a carpenter, and I've never worked as hard as Mary did that day. Mary was amazing. And I don't just mean the birth. I'm talking about months of people talking about us behind our backs. And then there was the trip to Bethlehem, a week. It took us a week to get there. And then when we get there, Mary makes a cradle out of a feeding trough. And she didn't think anything about it. Mary's amazing. I'm telling you, Mary knew that even if she didn't understand everything that was going on, that God was in control and He knew what was going on. She was open to His will. Now I understand why He chose Mary. The thing I can't understand is why He chose me.
For as long as I can remember, we have been waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue us. That's how it's always been. It's just how it's always been. So, you know, I always knew that He would come, but this isn't Jerusalem. This isn't any place exciting. I'm just an ordinary girl, a simple nobody from Nazareth. If you ask anybody, nothing ever good really happens in Nazareth. So, when the angel came to me with this announcement, I just knew for sure that he had had the wrong house. But if this is what God wanted, then who was I to say that he was wrong? And Joseph. God bless that man, that wonderful, wonderful man. He could have joined all the rest of them when it happened. He could have sent me away. He even could have killed me. But he never broke his promise to marry me. So whenever he had to go to Bethlehem for the census, I rode with honor by his side. Even with heartburn and bloated cankles, 9 months of pregnancy behind me. Now, you know how pregnant women have a tendency to do all of these crazy things to induce labor. You know, they'll take frequent walks or they'll eat spicy food. What they really need to do is take a bumpy 70-mile ride to Bethlehem, because by the time I got there, not that I'd ever really done it before, it was time. So with wave after wave of pain, I couldn't ignore the fact that I was not going to be with my family and friends for this. You know, I was in a place that was not my home. It was completely unfamiliar. But when Jesus came, I was overjoyed. I did everything I could to make him as comfortable as I could. I wrapped him in cloths and I put him in the only place that we had, which was an animal's feeding trough, excuse me. Joseph kept telling me that I needed to sleep, but I just couldn't stop looking at him. The joy that I felt in my heart was so great but none of my words were big enough to express how I felt. Now, there have been plenty of young girls that have given birth to children at very young ages. It's always been that way. But when I look down at my son, at my Redeemer, I knew that he was going to change the world because he had already changed mine.
You know, being a shepherd, we don't spend a lot of time with groups of people this size. So I feel like I've been charged to tell a story, and that's what I'm going to do. You know, there's not a lot that goes on when you're out there in the fields. Occasionally you got to chase off a wolf or coyote or something. And we're sitting out there, it's just like any other night, me and Slim sitting there talking cadiddlehopper. Slim Cadiddlehopper was his name. So, sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, from a distance, we see this bright light coming. And it comes up and gets closer and closer, and we're backing up as far as we can until we get to where we just can't move. I mean, Slim, he's white as a ghost, and I don't know what to do. And this figure appears, an angel. Now, I know y'all are thinking, probably been into the loco weed. No. I really thought that was happening as well until that angel spoke. He said, don't be afraid. I said, too late. So it was something. And he told me to spread the news of something. I wrote it down because I want to make sure that I get it right. That angel said, I have good news of great joy that'll be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then that angel said that he's in a stable wrapped in cloth. The reason that means so much to me is because the Savior of the world wasn't up here on high. He was down here for us. And then old Slim, he'd finally come around a little bit, and that angel said, now go find him. And Slim jumped up and said, let's go. So we went and we found him in Bethlehem. I was different after that night because God chose me. God chose you. So the news is the Savior is for all of us, even me who I don't even know why. I couldn't imagine what I could do. Thank you.
God had been silent for over 400 years. We know because we had been listening. My job is to listen. People who talk a lot and don't listen, we don't call them wise, do we? No, we've got a lot of names for them, but wise is not one of them. In my position, I look for signs everywhere. We watch the stars. We watch them and see what they are telling us. And I read of a star that would announce the birth of a new king. And suddenly one day, new star appeared. This star was different. It was a beacon in the night. After watching it a while, I felt this was the star the Jews had been looking for so long. The star that was mentioned and foretold in their ancient scriptures. The star of the Messiah. So I followed it. There were a few of us. It was really bizarre. This star actually led us. It moved, and we followed. And eventually it led us to Jerusalem. And that's where we met Herod. Herod claimed he also wanted to worship the Messiah. So he asked that when we found, no, he didn't ask, he actually demanded that when we found the newborn, we come back and tell him. We were warned in a dream not to trust him. So for 2 years, we followed the star, and it guided us ultimately to Judea. And then it stopped, shining down on a small cottage. It led us not to a palace fit for a king, but to a peasant's home. This was it. We gathered our thoughts, we gathered our gifts, and we collected our emotions as best we could. And behind those doors, we found a new king. A king who commanded the stars in the sky, but came to live with his people. God had finished being silent. He had spoken. That night, we knelt before the baby boy. Each of us laid gifts at his feet. We had to. 400 years of silence had been broken. Yes, God had spoken, and we worshiped.
always, maybe Christmas is not all about hustle and bustle. Maybe Christmas is about normal people like you and I that God uses in extraordinary ways. Maybe that's the message of Christmas. That's also the challenge of Christmas. Because if God created us for fellowship with Him and one another, as we make ourselves available to Him, we need to understand He's probably going to use us. And we ought to be thankful that He chooses to use ordinary people like us to achieve extraordinary things for His glory. Amen? My challenge to you as you go this morning is to make yourself available to God. If everything else seems to be too busy, stop. Remember this morning, stop, rest, rest in God, and allow Him to use you. I don't know how that will be. I suspect it'll be different for each of us. And I'll be interested to hear your stories as to how He uses you in this Christmas season to give glory to Him and to bless others. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing a hymn. It's labeled, well, it's not labeled Hymn of Commitment, but it's labeled Hymn number 101, Gentle Mary Laid Her Child. That's the hymn we're going to sing. And even as we sing that, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. For a couple of weeks now, we've had special services, and you may have had a decision that you would like to share and haven't had an opportunity to do that. We're going to allow you to do that this morning, whether it's a first-time profession of faith in Christ as your Savior, or maybe a recommitment to what it means to be a believer and to walk daily with Christ, or maybe it's to join this fellowship. And there's many ways we receive members. I'll share that with you if you have questions. Whatever your decision is, I want you to spend some time with God, even as we sing a hymn, even as we sing this hymn, whether you make the decision there or make it public. Hear God's voice, respond appropriately. Join me in standing and singing now. Ask if you would be seated for just a moment. Bill, if you and Millie would come up here and join me. I think probably if you've been around College Park for a number of years, you recognize Bill and Millie Clapp. They are coming today, coming back home They're coming back to College Park. We'll be asking for a letter from a sister congregation here in our city, but they have come back here by transfer of letter, and we delight in that. We are excited that you're back with us and look forward to many years of service together. It really is a joy. And I invite you to come by, as you will, with Jimmy as well. Come by and greet them and extend a warm word to them, a hug, a handshake, encouragement to them. Jimmy, if you would come join me up here as well. This is Jimmy Alexander. You may recognize him as the guy that sat in the choir right back there last week. Jimmy is fully engaged in the life of the church already and sang with our choir last week for the cantata. And he is coming also by transfer of letter from a sister congregation here in the city. And we are delighted, brother. We're delighted that you're here with us and look forward to a lot of years of ministry together. If you would please join me in standing for our benediction. Following the benediction response, I invite you to come again to speak a word of encouragement to them. And I want to remind our children to take Jeff up on his offer following the service. Go find him. Just go tearing down the hall and find him and ask for that candy cane, all right? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, it's a beautiful day, and it has nothing to do with the weather. It has everything to do with you and the fellowship that we enjoy here and the worship that we offer to you. God, we pray that we would be challenged, not only with our hearts, but with our minds and everything that we are, to be used by you, even as you've used ordinary people for extraordinary things. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen.